Today on Renewing Your Mind.
The preacher has nothing else to say apart from the Word of God. If you're not preaching the Bible, you just need to sit down. You need to go sell life insurance. You need to do something else than to stand up and talk without an open Bible in front of you, and everything that you have to say is flowing out of a passage of Scripture.
Well, as I think you can discern there, Dr. Stephen Lawson does not mince words. Dr. Lawson, of course, is one of our teaching fellows here at Ligonier Ministries, a frequent speaker at our conferences, and the founder and president of One Passion Ministries. Appropriately named because he does have one passion, and that is to preach God's Word. But he's also passionate to train others to preach God's Word. That's why he established the Institute for Expository Preaching. And we here at Ligonier Ministries are pleased to partner with him in that endeavor. Well, Dr. Lawson, it's always great to have you here with us in the studio. And let me begin by asking you, how would you assess the state of preaching in the American church today?
Without question, there's a famine in the land for the hearing of the word of the Lord. There is too much preaching today that is just shallow and weak. It is devoid of biblical truth. It is a-theological. It is addressed on a horizontal basis, simply to address the culture, giving book reviews, giving amateur psychology, all of these things. The purpose of preaching is for God to be heard in the church, for the Word of God to be ringing in the ears of the listener. And unfortunately, we don't hear that today. Today, we simply hear men who are just an echo chamber for what's going on out in the world. Instead, we need a message that has come down from heaven, a message that has come from another world, a message that is recorded in the inspired pages of Scripture. And the preacher is simply to be a mouthpiece for the Word of God. Thus says the Lord is to be continually coming from His mouth. And so this is what is missing today. And it's really preaching that is from man, through man, and to man, rather being preaching that is from God, through God, and to God.
Would you define expository preaching for us?
Expository preaching, very simply, is biblical preaching. It is preaching that is rooted and grounded in the Word of God. It takes a text of Scripture and opens up that text of Scripture and allows it to speak for itself. It's based on a fundamental commitment that when the Bible speaks, God speaks. And really, the preacher has nothing to say apart from the Word of God. So expository preaching is biblical preaching. But not only does it teach what the passage says, it also shows the relevance of this passage to the life of the listener and exhorts with practical application and challenge and encouragement, how this is to be lived out in our daily lives. So it is directed to the mind, the heart, and the will of the listener, all three. It teaches the mind, it encourages and excites the heart, and it challenges and directs the will. All three are necessary in true biblical preaching. And the word expository really carries the idea of explaining what a passage of Scripture means, giving its true interpretation within its context, and then to show, as I said, the application, the relevance, and to greatly motivate the listener to pursue a course of action.
And you've already held several of these conferences around the country. More are scheduled. And you tell those who attend these conferences at the outset the goal of the conference. And I'd like for our listeners to hear that.
My desire is that when we conclude Saturday at noon, you would be positioned to get to the next level. And let me just say, everyone in this room needs to get to the next level. Beginning with me. The day you feel like you have arrived in preaching is the day it's over. It's just over. And everyone in your church figured that out 6 months ago, that you're just cruising for retirement, that you're just biding your time. We must always be striving to be more effective, to be more precise, to be more on target, to be more evangelistic, to be more discriminating and separating the wheat from the tares.
Dr. Lawson, I think folks would be surprised to hear you say that you need to get to the next level. When you finish a sermon, do you feel like I could have done that better?
I always feel that. I'm never truly content with the message that I preached.
Really?
I always want it to be better. I replay it in my mind as I drive home, as I sit down in the den. I'm still parsing my own words and wanting to reshape what I said and how I said it. But that competitive drive, I think, is an essential part of being a strong, effective preacher, that we can never plateau and we can never level off and be content with where we are. We're always striving to press forward and to reach the prize that is ahead of us.
Dr. Lawson, I'm sure there are preachers and pastors who are listening to you right now and saying, yeah, this all sounds good, but hey, I need to preach sermons that are meeting the real needs of the folks in my congregation, the real issues in life, my marriage, my finances, my job, et cetera. How would you respond to them?
Well, your real needs are so deeply rooted in your soul that you don't know what those needs are until the Word of God brings them to the surface. Your real needs are unfelt needs. Your felt needs are more superficial, that lay on the surface of your life. And too many preachers are addressing secondary issues rather than what is first and foremost of greatest importance. And it is the Word of God that puts its finger upon that which is primary in the lives of people. Now, it does address the family. It does address finances, no question about it. But there are a lot of people, quite frankly, who are going to hell who have nice families and have good finances. The reality of preaching is to direct people to God.
I have here a copy of your book from the long line of godly men profiles, that the Passionate Preaching of Martin Lloyd-Jones. You quote Dr. Lloyd-Jones by saying, "The business of the preacher is to bring the Bible alive to them, to show them what is in it, to thrill them as they hear it from him."
Yes. Lloyd-Jones called preaching theology on fire. He called it logic on fire. And the idea is, it is to renew the mind, but it is also to ignite the heart, that this truth comes with such a fire from the preacher that it spreads to the souls that are in the pews. And that's what preaching is, and that's what Martin Lloyd-Jones did. He was a man who was on fire for God as he heralded the Scripture.
And you also reference in your lectures another great preacher from England, the late John Stott, who for many years pastored All Souls Church there in London. What did he have to say about expository preaching?
Well, he wrote a book called Between Two Worlds, which beautifully, I think, captures the essence of expository preaching. Because with one hand, the preacher reaches back 2,000 years, 3,000 years to the biblical world and takes the listener back to the Sea of Galilee, into the wilderness with Moses, where that passage of Scripture was being lived out, and you explain what that text is saying in the ancient context. Then with the other hand, you reach forward and you lay hold of the modern-day listener, and you relate the ancient meaning of that passage to the present-day world in which people live. And if you ever take your hand off of either world, you're really dead in the water. If you take your hand off of the ancient world while you stand in the pulpit and only are connected to the listener, you're just simply a life coach. You're just a motivational speaker. Conversely, if you take your hand off of the modern world and are only connected to the ancient world of Scripture, you've become a lecturer. And lecturing is fine in the classroom, but not in the pulpit. It is only the expository preacher that has his hands on both worlds. He stands between two worlds, and he relates the meaning of the ancient text of Scripture to the modern-day needs that are present in the pew. That is powerful preaching.
Well, if I'm a pastor listening to you talk about that, I'm saying that is a tall challenge to do that. So in these conferences, in these sessions, you teach pastors how to connect those two worlds?
Well, I do. And obviously, we have limited time. Our conferences are usually 2 days, but we fill up those 2 days till their cup is overflowing. And we roll up our sleeves and we dig into this sacred calling that has come upon our lives to preach the Word of God. And we do talk about these essentials, even in interpreting the Scripture, then applying and relating the Scripture.
One of the pastors who attended your conference in Asheville, North Carolina, is Dr. Melvin Wines. He's an associate pastor at a Presbyterian church. And I asked Dr. Wines if he found the conference helpful.
Oh, very. It was inspirational, at the very least. Stephen Lawson is, I guess you would say, the poster boy for passion when it comes to preaching. Just a wonderful time, filled with great principles, but wonderful practical helps as well that really gave us tools, as it were, in our toolbox to just be inspired to become the better preacher that we can be.
You use the analogy of the toolbox. What additional tools did you add to your toolbox after that conference?
Well, you know, every person that's made it through a homiletics course at a seminary has the basics tools necessary to be a preacher. But I think there was a fine-tuning, a honing of these tools by Dr. Lawson when we were there. Some very, very practical things in terms of time management, for one, which all of us struggle with. So that was a wonderful thing just there. And it was very, very good just to hear how he puts a sermon together and how it is that he comes up with his main points, his sub-points, his illustrations, how he crafts this together into a manuscript, and how he goes about defining and refining it for the senior who preaches 2 or 3 times a week to the associate who preaches much less or someone in between. I think there's something there for everyone to take away to better themselves, to strengthen their ability to bring God's message to God's people. I think it was exceptional, again, because it had both principle and practical.
Dr. Lawson, I know that you also have a long question and answer session for these pastors and church leaders to ask you questions. What are you discovering is their takeaway? Has this become an eye-opening experience for them?
Oh, no question. First of all, it's eye-opening in that we go back through the basics of how to put together an expository sermon. And I think you always learn by interacting with someone else who is practicing the art and the science of expository preaching. So as iron sharpens iron, so one man another. And it's a time for them to sharpen their sword in the specifics of how to put a sermon together. But more than that, it is highly motivational and highly inspirational as we spend this time together. And I find that the men are quite frankly ready to knock the door down and almost like a football team, go take the field.
Really?
They're ready to storm the field. They're ready to go preach. And I think that's very important because we need more than just the head knowledge on how to do this. We also need to have hearts that are inflamed with strong desire to carry out this task. And so it's not an either-or, it's a both-and. And so I find that to be the two principal values of being a part of this conference. And I think that that really hits the target.
We typically think of expository preaching as taking a book in the Bible and going from the first chapter, first verse, all the way to the end of that book. But are topical sermons wrong? I mean, is that a form of expository preaching?
There are many different types of expository preaching that are legitimate, And, of course, the main is sequential, consecutive exposition, as you've just mentioned. But there is also a topical exposition that is very legitimate, in which you take a particular doctrine in the Bible. It could be the doctrine of repentance. It could be the doctrine of the new birth. It could be the deity of Christ, whatever it would be. And to trace out that truth throughout an entire book in the Bible, throughout an entire testament, or throughout the entire Bible itself. So that is a very appropriate form of expository preaching. There is also biographical exposition, where you take a person or a figure in the Bible and have to go to multiple passages, even to multiple books in the Bible. If you took John the Baptist, for example, or the 12 disciples, that would make a compelling sermon or even series of sermons. And so biographical preaching can be very strong. And you can also take a section of a book in the Bible. For example, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. Instead of preaching the entire book of Matthew, all 28 chapters, you might zero in on those three chapters, and that would make an outstanding expository series. So there are multiple options, but I will say I think that the meat and potatoes, the week by week, on the whole, should be the verse-by-verse preaching through entire books in the Bible, because it guarantees that the full counsel of God will be taught over a period of time as a man pastors a flock of people. It economizes his time, the time that he invests in studying as he goes through a book. It all carries forward, and it also models proper Bible study methods for the church. They see how to rightly handle the Word of God as it's being modeled in the pulpit. And we must always study Scripture within context. It's been said a text without a context is a pretext. And you show the church how to rightly divide the Word of God.
Dr. Lawson, as I hear you describe expository preaching, I would think for a pastor who's really not been engaged in this form of preaching, this would be liberating. It takes the pressure off, hey, what do I preach next week?
Yeah, everyone in your church knows what you're going to preach next week and next month and next quarter, because you're preaching through books in the Bible, and there's no Saturday night panic like, I still haven't found the passage I'm going to preach tomorrow. It's always right in front of you. And so every week you know what is the next passage, because God Himself has set the agenda. God has set the menu for what you will be serving your flock. And this is based upon a presupposition that God has put balance into every book in the Bible. And such that as we preach verse by verse through books in the Bible, there is a wide distribution of doctrines and subject matter and truths that need to be served. Any preacher left to himself will gravitate to certain pet doctrines that become favorite truths for him to open up. And it's like you're grilling a hamburger on just one side. You need to flip it over and grill the other side. And by preaching through books in the Bible, you're always flipping the hamburger over to the other side and bringing about a balance in what you're preaching to your flock.
Dr. Lawson, you served in pastoral ministry for 34 years. What has been the fruit that you have seen from this type of preaching?
Well, I've seen the lives of people, first of all, brought to faith in Jesus Christ. And even people who thought they were converted, by sitting under the preaching of the Word of God, came to realize, I've never come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we talked about the book that I wrote, Martin Lloyd-Jones. That was the case in his own marriage. He married a woman who was unconverted, unknown to him and unknown to her. And it was not until he was called into the ministry and he went to Wales and began to preach the Word of God, did his own wife was she awakened to the realization, I've never been converted to Jesus Christ. And that has been what I have seen in all of my ministries. It's been evangelistic by being an expositor. Second, I've seen the fruit of men leading out in their families, leading out in the church, because I think expository preaching rallies men in the church to be men, because expository preaching is not soft preaching. It's strong preaching, and men are drawn to strong preaching. And strong preaching produces humble hearts before the Lord. And that is the fruit of expository preaching. Moreover, I have seen growth in personal holiness and godliness because preaching the Word brings a sanctifying effect to the lives of those who sit under it. And specifically, they grow to see God to be bigger and greater than they had ever envisioned before. Because the chief message of the Word of God is the God of the Word. And as you preach the Word of God, God Himself is growing in your own understanding to be bigger and greater and larger than you ever imagined. Also, the fruit of expository preaching is you see young men raised up to go into the ministry and to go to the mission field because it resonates in their heart. That's what God is calling me to do. And so as you sit under great preaching in the hearts of those who are being called into gospel ministry, it just draws them like a magnet into the ministry and into the work of God. So these are just some of the evidences. I think worship is purified because the higher you see God, the higher will be your worship. And it's our theology that produces doxology. And as we are expositors of the Word, we in reality are the worship leader in the church. And we are leading our people to praise the Lord and to give Him the glory as the Word of God is being opened up. So all of these are evidences of fruit. I could add also joy. Some people think expository preaching is boring, that if I sit under this kind of preaching, it's just going to be all cognitive. Admittedly, there is an intellectual dimension of this. But expository preaching produces genuine, authentic joy. It gives people strength as they go through times of adversity and affliction and trials, because it's not light, fluffy preaching. It's preaching that has substance to it, and it instills convictions and courage into people as they sit under this kind of preaching. And so I believe that what John Stott once said, if it's not expository, it's not Christian. Because expository preaching is simply biblical preaching. And if you're not preaching the Bible, what on earth are you doing?
That's a great question. And again, as I think you can tell, Dr. Stephen Lawson is passionate about this subject. We are too. And that's why Ligonier Ministries has partnered with One Passion Ministries to host the Institute for Expository Preaching. For more information and to see a complete list of all of the upcoming events, please visit renewingyourmind.org/institute. That's renewingyourmind.org/institute. Dr. Lawson's desire is to equip and encourage anyone who teaches and preaches the Word of God. And he often looks to the past for outstanding examples. His book, The Expository Genius of John Calvin, does just that. For your gift of any amount, we'll send you the hardbound edition of this book. Make your request at renewingyourmind.org or call us at 800-435-4343. Dr. Lawson provides a portrait of Calvin the preacher. He examines the core beliefs that define Calvin's preaching style and lists the steps he took in sermon preparation. It's a very practical book, especially for pastors. So again, for your gift of any amount, we'll be happy to send it to you. It's titled The Expository Genius of John Calvin. Our number again is 800-435-4343, or you can give your gift and make your request online at renewingyourmind.org. And again, if you'd like to know more about the Institute for Expository Preaching or to see whether they're hosting an event near you, just visit renewingyourmind.org/institute. Well, Monday on Renewing Your Mind, we begin sharing portions of Dr. R.C. Sproul's classic series, Hard Sayings. What do we do when we encounter characters or texts in the Bible that we may not like?
People say, Jesus I love and Jesus I obey, but it's that Paul I can't stand. He's that misogynist. He's that narrow-minded male chauvinist and so on. And these attacks against Paul's authority in biblical categories would be seen as an attack on the authority of Christ.
So we hope you'll join us again Monday for Renewing Your Mind.